Welcome to the Productivity Project podcast. I'm your host, Kat Hunter. I'm a mum, solo business owner, and I'm obsessed with helping you tap into the power of unconventional productivity to get hours back in your day, achieve your goals, and actually live the free and flexible life you started your business for. Feeling overwhelmed, juggling all the things, and like you never have enough time? This was me. Through harnessing a suite of beautifully simple, unconventional productivity skills, I went from feeling on 24/7, working all the time, and never feeling like I was getting anywhere, to working less, achieving my goals, and living a more fulfilling life with bucket loads of time. Join me for chats on creating a solo business owner life that's more easily productive, less stressful, and with more free time than you've ever had before. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode, and yes, I have a jingle. Guys, I really do apologize. I want to start with an apology because I know there are many of you who have really enjoyed my DIY, sing my own song style, different every week podcast intros over the last few episodes. In fact, I think it's been quite a few episodes, probably like upwards of 20 episodes where I have sung my own intro. But I decided it was time. The podcast deserves more than my semi out of tune vocals introducing it. So I did a little jingle last week, and the reason I bring this up, number one, is to acknowledge that no, I don't sing and introduce myself anymore, which I think needs a little bit of sadness and just like a moment of silence to mourn the loss of my singing. And number two, because this was an example of something that I had really, really procrastinated over doing. So it started with just the feeling of, you know, not really feeling the original podcast audio or intro was right for the podcast. I wanted to do something different, and I started to take the podcast in a little bit of a different direction. And so I stopped pasting my original intro to the podcast, and I thought, well, you know what? It's more important, instead of having a jingle ready to go to replace it, it's more important to just keep doing the podcast episodes, get the podcast out there. I don't need an intro. I'm just going to, you know, do something completely imperfect to show that, you know, done is better than perfect, and I'm going to sing my own intro. Or sometimes I'm not even going to have an intro. But it was something that I wanted to replace eventually, and it has been on my list to do for probably months now, probably 3 months. And doing the task itself, it's not time that was the problem for me here. And I think this is something that a lot of us can really relate to. Often we can tell ourselves, we don't have time to do something, or I don't have time for this task, or I don't have time for this activity that I want to do. But often what we find is it's not that we don't have time. We might be pressed for time, sure, and we might need to be really careful and conscious of how we spend our time if there are certain things that we want to achieve, and say we're juggling lots of different things like children or a job or whatever it might be. But a lot of the time, time is not the main problem when it comes to hesitating on something we are doing. Often it is because we are procrastinating on doing the thing, and the thing itself might only take us 10 minutes to do. It might only take us half an hour to do. Even if it takes us a couple of hours to do, if it is not a priority for us, it will not be getting done. And often when we hear the phrase, it's not a priority, or we hear someone say, well, maybe that's not a priority for you, or even if we're telling ourselves, it can make us feel, it can kind of be triggering to us when it's around something that we do want to do. It can make you feel like a little bit defensive, where you kind of like, well, no, but that is a priority. Like, I do want to do my podcast intro, and I do want to do this, but I just don't have time. And there's all these other things that have been, you know, coming in and stopping me getting it done. And it is a priority, and it can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable and even stir up feelings of guilt around not having done something that we said we were going to do. But it can actually be a really helpful insight into the way we work particularly when it comes to how we are prioritizing our own goals and the things that we really want to do within our businesses or our lives. So, for example, my podcast intro, I still serve quite a big portfolio of clients through my business as a virtual assistant and marketing consultant. And it is really natural to me to prioritize client work. And that's okay. In a client, at the moment, my business is set up. My primary business is as a service provider. So naturally, I prioritize the bread and butter of my business. You know, my services bring me income. My client relationships are really important to me. And obviously, the work I do for my clients keeps their businesses going. It helps their businesses grow. And there is nothing wrong with that if that is the way that you are also moving through your days and your weeks at the moment, and you are finding you have a client service facing business and you are finding that you don't get time or you are not able to focus on the projects that you want to focus on for your own business or your own growth, or maybe it's a creative project. That's okay, but I think it is a really powerful exercise to kind of stop and say, okay, is this feeling of not having enough time when it comes to my own projects or the things I want to do to grow my business or creative projects or whatever it is that really related to my time capacity? Is the fact that I am not as able to focus on those things really related to my time? And if it's not, what are the feelings that are coming up when it comes to your own projects or some of the tasks that you have that might be helping you get towards your own goals for growing your business? And this can be a really powerful question to start kind of thinking about whether it really is the fact that you don't have time. And in, you know, I am very aware that by talking this through and talking about the idea that perhaps it is not the fact that you don't have time can be really challenging and confronting for a lot of us, myself included, because we are all very time poor, whether you have children or not, whether you have a health condition or not, whether, you know, you might have a full-time job and be trying to grow your business, or you might have lots of other things going on in your life that influence and affect the way you are able to work, and that is okay. But I think what is really important to question when it comes to something that you've been stalling on or something that you may feel that you haven't been able to get to and it's been on your list for a long time and you really want to do it, just taking a look at whether that really is related to how much time you have. And to an extent, it will likely be influenced by time. You know, for example, if I had capacity across the 30 hours a week I have to work to completely work on my podcast, my courses, my online programs, the productivity aspect of my business, yes, I could absolutely grow it a lot more quickly than I can with a full service provider portfolio of clients. But I think a lot of the time we can tend to kind of ignore this middle ground. It can kind of feel like we need to be all or nothing with our time when it comes to the projects that we have for our business. But most of us don't have the time capacity to be all or nothing. So if it's not essentially 100% a time issue, then what else is coming up for us when it comes to not getting the things done that we want to do? So for example, my podcast audio, pulling together a podcast audio and intro, the whole thing probably took me about 20 minutes to do, because the intro script, it's not a completely different, you know, topic. I basically just had to tweak some of the copy that I read for the intro. And the audio, I think when I originally picked the podcast audio that I used for my original intros, I agonized over that shit for days. Like, I was sitting with Audio Jungle for about a week going through different audios and, you know, sifting through different jingles and sensing whether this was the vibe that I wanted or, you know, and I really did not need to do that. And it was at a time where I had a much more reduced client portfolio. I had the time to be kind of more free with what I kind of agonized and procrastinated over. However, now I don't have that time. And so because I don't have that time, I visited Audio Jungle again. I chose a new audio, but I probably spent about five to 10 minutes picking an audio. I knew I had a bit more of an idea of what I wanted, and I was able to narrow it down really quickly because I told myself that I didn't want to spend a huge amount of time choosing an audio. And I felt kind of excited by the fact that I was able to just choose an audio within 10 minutes because I had set that criteria for myself. That was something that I didn't want to spend a lot of time on, because now the more I've learned about productivity and using productivity as a tool, the more I have learned to practice that skill of equating something that you're doing with time invested to value returned. So the time I invested in choosing an audio, the value that choosing the right audio is going to return to me is probably like, you know, it's nice to have a nice audio. I don't want like a heavy metal intro for a calming podcast about females using productivity to help them improve their way of life and increase their freedom and flexibility. No. But I knew that choosing something that was, you know, roughly in the genre of music that I wanted to select would be enough. That would be good enough for a podcast intro. Maybe it's not the perfect audio, but that's okay. The value that comes from this podcast is probably about 2% from the intro audio. And 98% from the podcast content itself. So I just wanted to share that with you as a little exercise in moving through a task, a simple task that had sat on my to-do list for a very long time, and what the process was, what was behind it sitting on my to-do list for a long time, and what I actually worked through to get it done. Because a lot of us can start to feel when we have tasks that are sitting on our list for a long time, or we have goals that we want to achieve that we haven't achieved, you can start to make it really personal. And, you know, it can bring up a lot of feelings like, you know, I'm never going to be able to make this happen, or I feel like I'm failing at this, or I'm never going to have the time I need. But actually, when you actually take a step back and just spend a few minutes asking yourself the right questions, it can really bring up some really valuable insights into maybe why these tasks aren't getting done and what you can do to help yourself do them. Because our brains are very complex and they need support. We are not designed to sit at a desk and focus for 8 hours a day. That is not what we are designed to do. Our brain was never designed to do that. So we are really, really kind of pushing it into doing something that it is not really created for. And our brains are amazing, but they do need support. They need support if we are looking to be able to focus on a task, if we are looking to be able to prioritize effectively, if we are wanting to be able to bring our goals to life. We need to know how we can best support our brains to do this. And that is why I have started a podcast on productivity. That is why I am so invested in researching this topic and helping other women in business who work for themselves or who work alone to use it as a tool, because it is a tool and it is a really amazing tool to help support our brains and support you to bring the things to life that you want to bring to life. And I think once we kind of have that realization, it can feel really freeing. It can feel like a bit of a relief because, you know, it can kind of move us away from this whole making it about us, that the task isn't happening or that the project isn't happening. You know, it's not you. It is not because you can't do it or you don't know how to do what other people do, or, you know, that you're a failure or whatever it is that we tell ourselves. It is not that. It is that you have a human brain, and your human brain is designed to keep you alert. It is designed to keep you looking around you and scanning for other things and seeking out, you know, quick wins or pleasure or comfort. it is not designed to help you feel like hard things are okay. But that doesn't mean that you can't do hard things. It just means that we need to know and need to learn the right tools and the right skills to help us do those hard things. So guys, I feel like that was basically an episode in itself, which if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will know that this is what I do. I start the podcast with a topic in mind and then I share a little scenario from my week. And the little scenario becomes like this 15-minute chat. But that's just because I love sharing this stuff. And I'm really passionate about sharing this stuff with you. Because I really feel like when we work on our own, it can feel like we're a bit of an island out there in the sea, like drifting along, you know, solo without anyone to, you know, throw us a life raft for days on end. And before you know it, you're just eating like raw tuna and seaweed. Anyway, that was a little diversion, but I think it's really important to hear how other people work and to hear the other challenges people face, because it gives us a really nice way to kind of align what we're doing, helps us think about why, you know, the things we might be able to change in the way we work and why we might be working the way we are, and it can help us feel less alone. The little share that I've just shared, it does bring me to this week's podcast episode topic. So last week's episode, thank you to everybody who listened to last week's episode. It really resonated with so many of you, and I am so glad that it did, because I am always really curious to share stuff that people aren't really talking about and to see how many of you it really, you know, strikes a chord with, or how many people are actually experiencing the same things, or, you know, may have experienced it before and come out the other side. And thank you to everybody who commented and responded and sent me messages from last week's podcast episode. I really appreciate hearing from you guys. And also, I love hearing how you guys are going and what you guys are going through. So thank you. If you haven't listened to last week's episode yet, after this episode, go and listen, because it will really help you put this week's episode into context a little more. I spoke about the feeling or the transition that happens when we go from working in a corporate role or working for someone else as an employee to working for ourselves. And it is a big change in the way we work. And it is something that we just don't talk about. We do talk about it often on social media. We see it kind of bandied around, this transition as like, I'm free and I can work anywhere with my laptop and this is amazing. And we might see some people traveling. We might see some people, you know, spending more time with their kids or typing away with, you know, their little Jimmy running around in the background and, you know, working from a cafe or, you know, doing really cool stuff like bungee jumping out of planes. Is that a thing? No, bungee jumping out of planes is not a thing. Don't bungee jump out of a plane. Anyway, whatever it is, we often see this transition reflected as this really positive, exciting thing. And it is. It really is. If this is something that you've wanted to do for a while and you transition out of working for someone else to working for yourself, it is really exciting. However, there is also a big shift that happens when we transition from working for someone else to working for ourselves in terms of the way we work and what kind of work we do. So when we go from working for someone else, we go from working for maybe a company, whether it's small or large, that already has some sort of structure in place. It might not, you know, depending on who you worked for, what your last role was, if it was a small business, you might not have had too much structure, but there would have been something there, frameworks, policies, procedures, documents, people to report to, people to ask questions, people to cover you if you were on leave. All of those things were set in place for you. And the other side of the coin is that you didn't have a choice about where you spent your time. So whether, I know most corporates and a lot of smaller companies now are really flexible with where their employees work, most have mandated or suggested that people start coming back to the office for a certain percentage of their week. So most of us, if we are in a corporate role, or were in a corporate role recently, we're probably spending a bit of time in an office environment with other people and a bit of time possibly at home working alone. With that framework of colleagues and teammates and other people to contact if we needed to ask a question, if we needed some support with the work we were doing, if our capacity was, you know, if we were too busy and we needed somebody else to cover for us, we had all of that there. But on the other side of it, which is what I was getting to before, is that we didn't really have a choice about where we spent our time. So I used to work in a corporate role. I worked 4 days a week after I went back to work with my first child, Rosie. And I would arrive. There was a little bit of flexibility. My company was pretty supportive and flexible for people, for parents. So there was a little bit of flexibility with when I was able to start and finish. But I would still need to do my contracted hours during the week. So I would arrive, with the days I went into the office, I would arrive about 8:45 and I would leave about 4:45, maybe earlier. Anyway, but basically between those hours, and I could take breaks where I needed, but between those hours, I didn't really leave the office. You know, you can't really leave. You can't just pick up and go home or go to somewhere else or work from a cafe or whatever you want to do. You kind of have to be there unless you're kind of grabbing a coffee or having lunch or going for a walk or whatever. So you have these 30 hours to do the tasks that have been assigned to you that are in your job description, right? And there is not really a question of, once you've kind of learnt your role, you've learnt your role. And unless you take on a new role, that's pretty much it. Like, you've learnt your role and then you kind of just do your role until you get promoted to another role or you take on something else. Or there's not really, you don't need to help with the company's accounting, or if you're not in marketing, you don't have to market. You don't have to create content. You don't have to do all of these other things. You don't have to plan what the business is doing or the direction of the company for the next 1 to 5 years because somebody else is doing that. So a lot of that stuff is taken from you. But the biggest change, the biggest difference that most service providers and solopreneurs experience when they transition from a corporate role to working for themselves or working alone is that the way you use your day and what you work on and focus on is completely up to you. And on one side, that's amazing. Like, that is just like bloody fantastic. It is amazing having the autonomy and the freedom to choose how you want to spend your day. On the other side, it is fucking terrifying, right? Because you have to. Then it is on you. What happens during a day is on you. You decide, okay, when do I focus on this client project? When do I do my invoicing? When do I create my content? What do I prioritize first? What direction am I going in? There is all that added mental load. And it is huge. And I think, while I don't, I feel like this is like kind of like heading in the direction of like sounding a little bit terrifying. And I don't mean it to be terrifying, but I just think that often we don't acknowledge this. We don't acknowledge how big a transition this is and what an added mental load it is to have to plan and prioritize this much. And if we have not been in a role that was a planning and prioritizing role, if you were not a CEO, you are going to find this really difficult. But a lot of us find it really difficult, but we don't know why. And because we don't know why we find this so difficult, we start to, again, reflect on it being something to do with us. You know, are we not cut out for this business thing? Are we not supposed to do this? Should we just go back to a 9-to-5? Is this too hard? And these are all really normal feelings and questions. But I think when we kind of stop and move past the people in the pool typing, people in the pool typing at their laptops, or people having cocktails, you know, while working, or people at the beach, or people at cafes, or, you know, everyone with their own business just apparently frolicking around and not really doing very much at all and still generating millions of dollars a year. When we move past that messaging and actually acknowledge that this transition, yes, while it is hard, there is another layer on top of it just being hard. It is the fact that when you transition to working for yourself, you need to learn a whole new set of skills, a whole new way of working. And these are absolutely skills that you can learn. It is just that we are not talking about it as a set of skills. We see it portrayed online as either, well, some people are cut out for business and some people aren't. And that is absolutely not the case. So this week, I wanted to talk about a really big component of working for yourself or working solo as a service provider or as an online business owner when it comes to helping you get the things done you want to do and helping you prioritize and make decisions and, you know, actually do the thing. The one thing that people don't really talk about, and that is confidence. And that might sound really surprising to you because you might think, well, what the hell does confidence have to do with productivity, Kat? Like, are you a confidence expert now? No, I'm absolutely not a confidence expert. But often we think of improving our productivity as, you know, it's related to systems, implementing systems and implementing processes and using apps and getting planners and, you know, Pomodoro timers and all of these things. But the reason that we often start implementing all of these things and then find that after a week or so or a month or so, we're back at the same place that we were before and these things aren't really working as effectively as they were when we started them is because without actually learning the mindset and the skills that we need to implement within ourselves and within our way of working behind all of these systems, without reflecting on and developing those soft skills that we need to support our brains, to help our brains work better or to help us use our brains to get the things done we want to do, those systems are just going to go down the drain. And that's often why they do. So when I started my business, I was really excited. It was going really well. I picked up clients quite quickly and I thought I'd overcome everything because everybody on the internet said that the hardest thing to do was to get clients, right? But I got clients quite quickly, so I thought I was done. That was it. But then a few months into starting, I kept noticing that something just wasn't how it used to be when it came to the way I was able to work. You know, things like how long I was able to concentrate, what I was able to do in a day, you know, how kind of focused I felt. And I knew it wasn't to do with kids, like having kids. Often, you know, we think we'll return to work after we have kids. It can, you know, we are different. We work differently. After we return to work and we have kids, we prioritize things differently. We care about different things. It wasn't that. I couldn't figure out what to do and I started to feel really stressed about it because I had all these clients that were relying on me for support. I knew that I was able to deliver good work, but I just couldn't make it happen like I used to. And I think for years I had been able to kind of operate like a robot in whatever role I worked in. You know, people used to say I was really organized and efficient and productive and I'd always done a good job. I'd always, you know, exceeded expectations on those quarterly reviews. And I'd always, you know, I saw myself as a really good worker in inverted commas. And I think the reason that I was able to do this, I realized, was because I had always worked in environments that were designed to kind of cultivate this robot style productivity through what was probably years of centuries old social conditioning around the way that humans should work. You know, we should work for 8 hours a day. We start at 9 a.m. We finish at 5 p.m. And for those 8 hours, we are focused and we are making things happen. That is so far from the truth. But anyway, I think that when I really stopped and reflected on the way, the environment I used to work in, it was vastly different to the environment I worked in now that I worked on my own, which was completely unstructured. The structure was all up to me. The direction was all up to me. The tasks I did every single day, they were up to me. And when I went out on my own, I found it really, really difficult to focus and to concentrate because I had so much in my brain. I was constantly thinking, what should I be doing next? Should I even be focusing on this now? I'm doing this now, but then this other thing has got to happen too. And, you know, it just felt huge. And I think it took me a long time to realize, and a lot of money investing in, you know, systems and tools and resources to help me get the things I wanted to do done. It took me a long time to realize that there was a lot I needed to work on about myself and the way that I worked, a lot of skills I needed to learn to support my brain to help me get things done in this new environment. And there was a big one that I was overlooking when it came to helping me create that really easeful productivity that I could kind of just switch on and off as a tool when I needed it. It was confidence. So confidence, when it comes to working for yourself, working on your own, deciding how to prioritize, implementing boundaries, is absolutely crucial when it comes to working for yourself and helping you succeed in getting the things done you want to do. So the first point about confidence I'm going to talk about is confidence in setting effective boundaries that feel good when it comes to your time. If you're anything like me, you might tell yourself, I'm terrible at setting boundaries, or, you know, I don't know how to set boundaries, or I'm a people pleaser, or, you know, any of those stories that we tell ourselves. And if that is something you have told yourself in the past, or you do tell yourself, I wanted to ask you a question that might help you think about a different way of positioning, starting to set those effective boundaries. Is it that you are terrible, in inverted commas, at setting boundaries, or is it that you haven't had enough opportunity to practice setting effective boundaries when it comes to your work? So you might have had some opportunity to practice this in your personal life. You might naturally be really, you know, good with your personal time. You might say, okay, I definitely do finish at 5, or, you know, and go and spend time with my kids, or I don't do more than 2 social things on a weekend, or whatever it is. Or you might not even be there yet with your own personal time. But if you haven't had the opportunity to practice setting effective boundaries around the way you work, then it will feel really hard. And that is because it is a skill that we need to practice and a skill that we need to learn over time. And new skills do feel hard, especially when we first start doing them. It feels hard because it's a skill that you need to practice, not because you are naturally terrible at setting boundaries. And I kind of laugh because this is something that I really, really, it took me a long time to realize and to learn. I had a lot of stories that I used to tell myself about the way I was. You know, I was not good with boundaries. I was not good with, you know, not saying yes or protecting my time or figuring out how to tell someone that, no, I wouldn't be able to do that today. But the fact is, it wasn't that I wasn't good at it. It was just that I didn't have the opportunity to practice it. And it was that I wasn't practicing it. I think often when we are used to being in corporate roles or roles that are, you know, where we're employed by someone else, we don't really need to practice that boundary setting outside of saying, okay, I'm not going to respond to emails after hours, or I'm not going to respond to emails on the weekend. That's one level of it, and that is also really valuable to do and really important. But beyond that, the next level of setting boundaries within the time that we want to spend working, or around the type of work we do, or, you know, around the tasks that we take on, we don't have a lot of opportunity to practice that because we are coming from workplaces where largely our roles are set out for us. And largely the work we have to do is kind of mandated. You know, we do this work and we get paid this money and then we come home and that's it. But within our own businesses and working for ourselves and working for clients, we have to practice setting boundaries all the time. And it can be really challenging to do. You know, when I first started working for clients, I completely fell into an employee mentality. I was working as an employee. If the client asked me to do something, I would do it. If the client said they needed this as a service, I would offer it, because I was used to working in a way where my employer dictated what I would do at work, which felt really normal for me. But what I quickly realized was by doing this, when I was working for myself, it meant that every boundary that I didn't set, everything I said yes to, everything that I took on would then impact the work I was able to do for other clients. It would impact the work I could do on my own business. It would impact the time that I spent working. You know, I was finding that I was getting to the end of my workday and, you know, I wanted to stop working and spend time with my kids, but I would always feel behind. And it was because I wasn't confidently setting those boundaries when it came to the type of work I did, the tasks I took on, and the services I offered. On the other side of it, I think there is this fear that if we set a boundary, it is again that all or nothing feeling. You know, if we set a boundary, the client won't want to work with us anymore. If we say to the client, you know you need social media, or I know you need your weekly newsletter written, or I know you need this, but I can't offer that, or, you know, this is not something I have capacity for right now. I think we have this fear that if we can't offer something, the client will go elsewhere. And I can tell you that 99% of the time that doesn't happen. If a client truly values working with you and values what you offer, which is really valuable, even if you are not able to offer every service under the sun, because nobody is, it does not mean that they are going to stop working with you because you don't offer a service. And I think that fear is something that is really hard to get beyond. It might mean with some clients, it might mean that they say, okay, well, I want someone that can do everything. So if you can't do this, I'm going to go elsewhere. But then, do you want to work with a client that is like that? That is another question to ask yourself. Do you want to work with a client who doesn't respect your boundaries and who doesn't respect the kinds of services you want to offer and the way you want to run your business? I think a lot of implementing confidence practices when it comes to productivity is really learning to value that our way of wanting to work and our way or your way of running your own business and wanting to do things is really valid. And it is just as valid as your client's way of wanting to run their business. And you are able and allowed to set and implement effective boundaries that work for you. I think that is a big area that comes up a lot. Even if we are aware of this, it comes up a lot. It still comes up for me, and I have been doing this for 2 years now. And I think it's just being aware of that and constantly practicing that feeling and that process of setting those boundaries and kind of just acknowledging how you feel and acknowledging, you know, what might change from the first time you set a boundary to the second time. Might it get a little bit easier? What do you notice the more you set boundaries? Do you feel lighter? Do you feel a little different? Are you able to work a little more easily or effectively when you do work? The next area that really helps when it comes to confidence is confidence in your ability to effectively prioritize and decide what you're going to work on and when you're going to work on it. So I think this again ties into that transition between working for somebody else and working for yourself. This is something that will be kind of thrown on you when you start your own business. So you might have come from working for an employer in a role where your tasks were really just set for you and the things you had to do were kind of mandated by, you know, the day of the week or a time when a team member needed them, or, you know, it might have been quite a cyclical role in that you had certain things that you needed to do each week or each month and that was probably set out for you. When you work for yourself, you set all of that. And while clients might have certain deadlines, Often it's really difficult to kind of navigate those, especially when they are competing deadlines. So if you are working for an employer, say you are working for three different people or different teams for the one employer. Generally, if you have conflicting deadlines, the other team or the other person or whoever it is that you're working with, you'll have a little bit of flex to speak to each of the people that you're working for and kind of come up with a solution that, you know, it's the best for the company that you're working for, right? So if you have, say, a team with a project that's due, you know, in a week's time and another team with a project that's due in a week's time, it's generally what is better for the company that you work on. And people generally have a consensus around that, right? Whereas when you're working for different clients in different businesses, client A doesn't give a shit about client B. Your clients don't care about other clients' projects. And while if you have really good clients who are understanding that you work for other people and are respectful of how you run your time and are happy to be flexible, that can make it easier. But a lot of the time, it is up to us to communicate how we prioritize and to communicate when we are going to be able to do something by. And that might possibly mean challenging a client's deadline and communicating to them that we don't have the capacity to get their project X done by this day or whatever it might be. And I think, again, that is another skill that takes confidence and practicing that confidence to be able to implement. So effectively prioritizing is a skill, and it is absolutely a skill that can be developed and, you know, refined over time. But I'm going to hazard a guess that most of us know how to prioritize, you know, even if some of us are naturally better in inverted commas than others, but most of us have an idea of what prioritization is. You know, if we map out, say, four different projects and one is due next week and one is due in 3 months and the other is due in a year and, you know, the other one's due tomorrow, then we know how we're going to prioritize those projects, right? So naturally, we would work on the one that's due tomorrow now and the one that's next week, you know, we would work on that the next day or whatever it is. That's a really basic, a basic example of how prioritization works. And most of us know how to do that at a basic level. But what goes beyond that is the confidence aspect when it comes to working for yourself and it comes to working for multiple clients, which is deciding what you are going to work on when, is as much about, you know, the Tetris of the to-do list as it is about how to communicate that to your clients. And I think this is where a lot of us can come unstuck. We can prioritize and map things out, but when we realize we have, say, we are, you know, pushing up against the boundaries we've set for ourselves, we are going over our work hours for the week, we are trying to, you know, do three things at the one time or whatever it might be, a lot of us can come unstuck when it comes to communicating that, because again, there is that fear that by communicating that we cannot deliver this piece of work at this time, or that we need to, you know, deliver it next week or whatever it is, that it reflects poorly on us. And I think the more we can practice repeatedly doing this prioritizing, it's again prioritizing that the way we work and our work time and the way we want to run our business is just as important as the way a client runs their business or the projects that the client has. The more we practice that, the better we get at communicating with clients and the more natural this process feels. And I think it is just about acknowledging, even at the start, when you are prioritizing and you do come up against something that you need to communicate to a client or a couple of clients, acknowledging that this will feel hard. And acknowledging that this is likely, especially at first, not going to feel natural to you. Because your brain wants to do the things that you've always done to keep you safe and to keep things familiar. Your brain will want you to, okay, well, communicating that to a client feels really hard right now and I don't want to feel uncomfortable, so I'm just not going to say anything and I'm going to just push myself and try and do all of the things at once and hope that it doesn't happen again. That is how most of us generally have habitually been conditioned to work. And I think the more we become comfortable with feeling uncomfortable with the fact that, yes, it might feel a bit uncomfortable at first, but this is really important to me. This is really important to the way my business runs and to the success and the health of my business and my time for the week. The easier that process will feel, the more we condition ourselves to actually doing it. And the third and final area that I wanted to cover, because this episode has been a doozy, we're at 43 minutes already, is confidence around making decisions quickly so that you can get things done, finalized, and off your list. So a lot of us get stuck in decision fatigue or decision paralysis when it comes to doing something, finalizing something, deciding what to do, deciding, you know, what brand colors to use, or deciding if this copy is okay, or deciding on the jingle for our podcast, or, you know, deciding if we should do a course or a membership or whatever the decision is. A lot of us get stuck in the decision-making process, and that can be really, really hard when it comes to helping us make things happen that we want to happen. So if we don't trust ourselves to make the right decision, and we are so caught up in the fear of failure that might come from a decision that we have made, or we believe might come from a decision we've made, that is what creates this decision paralysis for us. This is where we get stuck. And often the decision can even just be around, you know, I need to write my newsletter, but I don't know, you know, I've got this topic in mind, but I don't know, it's going to take me a while, and I don't know if I should do it now or if I should just leave it. And before you know it, you haven't written a newsletter for 4 months. Whereas if you had sat down, sat in the feeling of, yes, this feels a bit uncomfortable. No, this might not be perfect. I feel a little uncomfortable with, you know, the fact that I haven't perfected this newsletter, and, you know, wrestling with those feelings of, can I write this better, or is this the right topic? And just kind of moving past those anyway and doing the thing anyway and hitting send. Often we find that the more we do this, the easier this process becomes. The more we do this, the more excited we feel, because we are actually actioning things. We are getting things done. We are getting things out there, and we are making decisions. And sometimes those decisions are not the right ones, and that's okay. I think the biggest fear we have when it comes to making decisions is that we're going to make the wrong decision. But what is so bad about the wrong decision? Honestly, ask yourself that question when it comes to next time you are faced with indecision, or faced with, you know, getting stuck in doing something because you're trying to decide something about it. What is the worst that could happen from making the wrong decision? You know, most of us are not brain surgeons, and a lot of other business owners use this analogy when they're talking about the work we do. Most of us are not doing life-saving things. If we make the wrong decision, no one is going to die. And I know this is really broad, and yes, there are thousands of things we do every day where no one is going to die, but it's still important, right? Just because no one is going to die, it doesn't mean that it's not important. But working through removing some of that fear around possibly, you know, not doing something perfectly, or sending out a newsletter topic that perhaps didn't hit the mark with your audience, will really help you when it comes to doing it next time. Because you will learn. You will learn that, okay, my audience doesn't want to hear about this. What about this? Okay, I've had some great response from this topic that I covered. Let's embellish on that next week. And by making these decisions, by doing things quickly and not perfectly, it doesn't mean rushing through your work. It doesn't mean just rushing through your to-do list and doing a bang-up job of everything and making spelling mistakes and, you know, doing all the things. But again, if you make a spelling mistake, it's okay. No one really cares. But it just means getting comfortable with that feeling of feeling discomfort and doing something anyway because you know it's important to the direction you want to go. So again, the three things I've covered: confidence in setting effective boundaries, confidence in your ability to effectively prioritize and how to articulate that, and confidence in making decisions quickly. They're all very different, but they are all underpinned with the same idea, and that is getting comfortable with feeling uncomfortable and using that to really build your confidence as this superpower that you have up your sleeve in your arsenal as a support for your brain. Getting comfortable with feeling uncomfortable is how you build your confidence when it comes to the way you work. And when you build your confidence when it comes to the way you work is when you truly start to see the effects of all of these productivity systems you've implemented, all the tools, all the planners that you have at your disposal to help you and to support you. They will really come to life then once you have started working on the mindset behind all of those systems and tools and supporting your brain. So guys, that was a big episode. We covered a lot. If you have listened till the end, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being part of the Productivity Project community because I really do feel like we're starting to develop a bit of a community now. I'm really excited that you guys are getting so much out of each week's episodes. And if you are new to the podcast and you haven't yet, make sure you just hit the little subscribe or plus button to follow along and download new episodes every week. By subscribing, it really does help get the podcast out there to more people and more service providers and solo business owners who really need to hear this message. So I hope you enjoyed this week's app, and I will be back next week with another episode of the Productivity Project. Until then, bye for now, guys.